Chapter 8. I shall reverse the world. Now if we are to answer the question of how evil has really come into the world and if it is correct to state that it did so because of alien interaction, then the question appropriately arises as to how we are still battling with the problem of evil today. Why is it not all over and done with, given that the conflict began in pre-diluvian times? Surely, if evil had conquered, then today there would be no question of good being an alternative or a presence in the world. And if good had triumphed, then today we would all be living in peace and harmony. The reason why we are still resolving this today, why good and evil still operate side by side, personally and collectively, is because there was a variable, in the days of old, that prevented resolution. This variable was unforeseen by either side and caused the end game to be delayed, literally by millennia. The variable had to do with the global war mentioned previously. The use of the weapons of mass destruction caused the planet Earth itself to react violently. It is written that the ferocity of the war caused the very moisture in the atmosphere to completely evaporate. The air was literally incinerated or irradiated. It was either this conflagration or some other related event that affected the Roche limit, and which caused a dramatic alteration in the magnetism of the Earth. As a result, the Earth deviated on its normal orbit and upset the movement of other neighboring planets and bodies. The course variations allowed debris from the previously destroyed planet, Thiamat, to re-enter the Roche field where it fell to Earth, again causing havoc. Much of this effluence was salt water from the once vast oceans of Tiamat, thus causing the second deluge of prehistory. These global cataclysms caused the polar axis to alter, resulting in the Great Pole Shift that destroyed almost all the flora and fauna on the planet. This event is universally recorded and is now scientifically confirmed. See, when the Earth nearly died, the warlocks of Atlantis, who were never many to begin with, suffered heavy losses in the destruction of their continent, Atlantis. It can be conjectured that there were less than 100 of these totally alien beings left, though there is little to no certainty about this. They also lost most of their sophisticated alien technology, and the Sons of the Serpents together with their Adamic wards suffered enormous casualties also. It may be conjectured that there were only about 1,000 true Sons of the Serpents left in existence. This global war and its devastation also meant that the Earth would now have a different climate, equator, and continental placement. The great continents of Appalachia, Oceania, Tyrrhenia, Beringia, and Fennoscandia sank beneath the waves, as did smaller islands such as Lachlan, Lyoness, High Brazil, and Avalon, to mention a few. The great Miocene Ocean that occupied most of what is today Russia had entirely emptied its basin. Its waters became the Mediterranean, and the Caspian and Black Seas. The waters of the planet Tiamat, after pouring into our atmosphere, helped to submerge the continents and eventually became the great oceans we have today. And so, the great pre-diluvian civilizations once occupying these continents were gone forever. The pillars of heaven were broken, the earth shook to its foundations, the heavens sunk lower towards the north, the sun, the moon and the stars changed their motions, the earth fell to pieces, and the waters enclosed within its bosom burst forth with violence and overflowed it. The grand harmony of nature was disturbed. From Astronomical Revelations by Larry Brian Radka. The Quiche Indians of Guatemala recorded this event as follows. The waters were agitated by the will of Hurricane, the heart of heaven, and a great inundation came. Masses of sticky material fell, the face of heaven was obscured and a heavy darkening rain began. There was a great noise above, as if by fire. Now men were seen running, pushing each other, filled with despair. And the Bible, in its customary oblique and disheveled manner, records it thus. The earth is utterly broken down, moved exceedingly, Isaiah 24:19. For this they are willingly ignorant of, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, 2 Peter 3, 5. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, Isaiah 24. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, Revelations 21:1. The Laplanders of northern Sweden preserved these accounts. Their ancient books have gone saying, I shall reverse the world, I shall bid the rivers flow upward, I shall cause the sea to gather together itself up into a huge towering wall which I shall hurl upon your wicked earth children, and thus destroy them in all life. From maverick catastrophist and researcher Commons Beaumont, we read, the flood, to the world generally a vague and nebulous tradition, really conceals the most appalling visitation, and its ravages in the British Isles and Scandinavian lands may be retraced to more considerable extent by the effects of what geologists term the drift age. It was no mere ice drift. It was sudden and terribly swift and violent. It took several hundred years for any sense of normalcy to return. These events are still etched in the human race memory. In our very DNA, man's various nightmare fears and daytime phobias arise from such physiological experiences in the ancient past. Fear of thunder and lightning, of the dark, of water, of caves and enclosures, of loneliness, or spiders, insects, and other creatures. Fear of the ocean, of silence, of strange peoples, and on, come from this. The myriad omens and superstitions found in every clime have their roots in these collective experiences. Julian James, author of The Origin of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, claimed that this period thousands of years ago was a time of intense psychosis for the emerging human race. Jack Barringer, Past Shock. The coming of the original serpent race was probably around 50,000 years ago, but could have been up to 125,000 years ago. Genetic experiments and hybridization took place sometime after the building of Atlantis, for which the services of Neanderthal man seems to have been required. Of the nature and destiny of this species in their book Mankind Child of the Stars, Otto Obinder and Max H. Flynn comment on the Neanderthal: had a big brain, but small mental capacity, was a mass of muscle, was replaced suddenly by Cro-Magnon, who was a completely separate species. Common Neanderthal most decidedly could not be the direct ancestor of Cro-Magnon, for they were two distinctly different types of human, physically and even skeletally. Neanderthal men endured both cold and mild cycles with apparently equal success. He continued to exist in Western Europe right up to about 35,000 years ago, and then he abruptly disappeared. The evolutionary tendencies that he exhibited during this period are extremely puzzling, for he seems to have gotten more primitive, not less so. The Wars of the Gods probably began around 13,000 years ago, with the pole shift following soon after. The Earth attains a semblance of normalcy as the centuries pass. Later the historical period commences, post 11,000 years. In the historical or post-diluvian epoch, humankind seems a strange mixture of primitivism and advancement. All the incredible inventions with no seemingly antecedent stages of development. After the war, the remaining sons of the serpents decided that in order to survive as well as avoid direct attacks from their enemies, they would disperse in smaller contingents to the corners of the earth. With them would go the remaining members of the Adamic race. So, in history, we hear of the coming of civilization to the various provinces of the earth. As the historians and mythologists have known, these sundry cultures and their beliefs bear curious yet undeniable similarities, mainly because contingents of the same people were spreading the knowledge to these different locales. Same people, similar paradigms and symbolism. Commensurate with this comes the ambiguous symbols of the snake, the serpent, and the dragon. These symbols have been both revered and feared for millennia by almost every culture on the globe, and yet, outside the folk traditions themselves, there is no credible theory to account for why that should be. Are there not a myriad other things worth worshipping? Why is it that so few scholars have dealt with this anomaly? Another interesting anomaly of these cultures is the use of the letter and phonetic sound K, C, also C and CH. Almost all the names of the tribes of the North American Native Indians have the K sound or letter. For example, Oklahoma, Muskogean, Choctaw, Nakota, Dakota, Cherokee, Mohawk, Yaqui, Comanche, Chickasaw, Seneca, Iroquois. The word America has the strong K sound, as do the words Celt, Cain, Can, Cham, Con, Cohen, Canaan, Con, Carn, Clan, Kieran, Karen, and Christ. There are many personal names that also have it. As the sons of the serpents were dispersing, the original serpent race began converging in the equatorial regions of Mesopotamia and in Asia Minor. These were the areas that now could support life all year round. It is these dark ones who established what are known as the Sumerian and Babylonian civilizations, as well as all the high-profile empires to come. And it is upon the foundations of these dynasties and cultures that the post-diluvian or historical periods rest. The horrendous events that are associated with these belligerent nations aptly testify to who was behind them. and since it was these brotherhoods that began recording history, they commissioned the accounts to be composed in their favor, to be biased toward their deeds and agenda. Their aristocratic scions were to be history's main dramatis personae. As a result of their bias, the date of their arrival was artificially pushed back to over 400,000 years. This was a political move to give their line ancestral supremacy. The biographies of the gods and the details of past events were also embellished and distorted, while the facts pertaining to the happenings in the Garden of Eden were doctored to the absurd form that exists today. These stories are said to come out of Asia Minor, but they actually refer to events that happened many millennia prior to the dates proffered. Professor W.B. Emery writes, in Archaic Egypt, at approximately 3,400 years BC, a great change took place in Egypt, and the country passed rapidly from a state of advanced Neolithic culture to two well-organized monarchies. At the same time, writing appears, monumental architecture and the arts and crafts developed to an astonishing degree. There appears to be little or no background to these fundamental developments.